I always was of the thought that depression affected just women, but I was wrong. It affects both men. Some time ago at a public sale, quite a few years ago, I was talking to a man at the public sale that said he experiences depression a lot in the winter months. He said, I guess in the summer you're busy and you have lots of things to do, but he said, my depression comes in the winter. And he said, it's just, I just struggle with it every year. And, I brought my cell phone with me. I stuck it in here in case it fell off. Because Bob knows that you use these to monitor your sugar. I lost my monitor one time, and then I found out that you can actually use these to monitor the little patch that you put on your arm. So if you hear it go beep, 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 means I gotta take a break and check it. I don't know how to turn off. I do know how to turn off. I just don't know how to adjust it. Wife says I'm not fit to have a cell phone. And she's probably right, because I don't understand a lot about the cell phone. I just know there's some things here that I did learn, that you can push this button here and talk to it and ask it, you know, what is the definition of depression? Woo! Some encyclopedia comes up and there it is, just like that it is. Now, I laid it on the table, and I'm trying to copy this long definition. I get my pen and start copying. I'm about halfway through, and the thing shuts off. No. All right. We'll do this again. What's the definition of depression? You know what? I've realized I can take a picture of it. I took a picture of it. Now I have it. I don't need to do nothing. There it is. I'm learning, honey. Just be patient with me. I'll soon be fit to have one. Anyway, you know that the American language is a very difficult language, because we have words that mean different things. Same word means different things. Now, here's a prime example of it, depression. There's five of them, and the list goes further than my cell phone took a picture of. There's five different meanings of depression. Well, the first one is the one that I'm going to deal with today. Feelings of severe despondency and dejection. Self-doubt creeps in, and that swiftly turns to depression. Under psychiatry, a mental condition characterized by feeling of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy, guilt, often accompanied by lack of energy, and a disturbance of appetite and sleep. She was referred by a psychiatrist treating her for depression. Oh, that's just an example of it. Well, then there's a depression you make when you put your foot in the sand. That's a depression. Huh. How about that? Or when they put goop in your mouth to make an impression. To make an impression. I got the wrong one. Sorry. Well, then there's a depression. Meteorology, you know, that's a depression. A lower atmospheric pressure, especially a cyclonic weather system. Hurricanes start off at the loose regions of bad weather known as tropical depression. So anyway, there's an example of how the English language uses the same word, but has different meanings. All right, we'll put that away. We're done with that. Okay. And I don't know, maybe Barketta would know, obviously, depression can be inherited, because this lady inherited it from her mother. Is that common?
That's genetic possibility.
Okay, thank you. Because, I'll give you a little update on this. It deals with a mother that had depression. The daughter was born with it. And anyway, that's how it starts. There's 10 scenes. Don't get excited. Maybe after the fifth scene, we'll have an intermission. I'm just teasing. There's 10 scenes. I'm going to start with scene one. Under the love that opened the door, blue days had ruled my mother's life and mine. I was 9 years old that Friday night. We were about to sit down to dinner, but I wasn't looking forward to it. It It was another of my mother's blue days, as we called them, when she seemed to be only a shadow of herself. In truth, these blue days often stretched into weeks. Should we wait on Jimmy? My sister-in-law asked. Jimmy was my dad. No, my mother said. He can eat whenever. On blue days, my mother didn't really react to anything. She didn't seem to care that my father worked late and usually ended up in the basement after he came home. When the anger rose from her, it scared me. My brother, who had left home as soon as he was old enough, quickly gestured for us to take our places at the table. He was 10 years older than me. I felt so alone in this house without him. We stared at our plates, waiting for my mother to say something. Not Grace. We didn't do that. Then the phone rang. My mother got up and answered. I was sure it was my father on the line. They had been arguing earlier today. If you call again, Mom suddenly shouted, I'll jerk this phone right out of the wall. I froze sick to my stomach. I knew she'd do it. Mom sat down and a thick silence enveloped us. We passed dishes. The metal clink of the serving spoon stung my nerves. I tried to take a mouthful of pot roast, but it was no use. All I wanted to do was run and hide in my closet. I did that a lot in those days. Finally, my sister-in-law spoke cautiously. I read that there are new pills you can take for, you know, your blue days. No different, really, than the pills people take for blood pressure. I cringed inside. My sister-in-law had no idea the mistake she just made. Mom's words fell from her mouth. I will not take happy pills. There's nothing wrong with me. I wondered if her anger had been an effort to break free of her blue day, as if she was trying to punch through it. Because here's the thing. More than anyone in my family, I knew deep down how Mom felt. Scene 2. I knelt alone in the church sanctuary, the dimness a familiar comfort, like the closet where I used to hide when I was little, hiding from what I was never able to say then, from the feelings that threatened to swallow me whole. But I guess you can't hide from yourself. A gentle light illuminated the cross behind the pulpit where my brother preached. I was a high schooler. And he led this small church. Surprising, because we were not a particularly religious family. In my closet, I blindly reached out to some power greater than myself, some loving force to help me understand what was wrong with me, or simply to end my suffering. God, I prayed now, if you are the God of love that my brother says you are, please send that love to help me. I think about that easy prayer I said a few weeks ago. The words that Jesus hears, help me. That word love, what did it mean? Our family rarely said that word to each other. And when we did, it was mechanical. The frequency of Mom's blue days had leveled off, their intensity lessened, or so it seemed. If I'm feeling down, I just tell myself to snap out of it, she'd say. But her words were hollow. They held the echo of everything that was turning inside her and in me. I too tried to tell myself to snap out of it, like a lion tamer cracking a whip. The more I tried to isolate myself from my feelings, the darker the cloud that hung over me, the more that cloud isolated me. In this sanctuary, though, the word love felt so real. I knew it was God breaking through to me. He knew who I was. When I got home, still floating on that feeling, I asked my mother, is there someone I can talk to about how sad I sometimes feel? Why, Jeannie, you have me to talk to. We can talk to each other. We'll just tell ourselves to be happy. No one needs to know. I turned away. What could I do now? I was too old to hide in that closet anymore. Scene 3. I traveled through life the best I knew how. Some days I felt as if I were swimming through mud, but I learned from my mother's mistakes. I hid my feelings better. I didn't even think about them. I just put on a happy face. There were more important things than the way I felt. I married, had 2 beautiful children, a son and a daughter, divorced. I got a job at the city hall as an accounting clerk, always keeping up with the endless work. I married a good man named Roger. Can you believe it? Maybe that's what caught me. So it's here. I married Roger and moved on. Though it didn't feel as if I had, I couldn't move on from myself. Scene 4. Jeannie, my phone won't work, my mother said. If your phone isn't working, then how are you talking to me on it? I don't know, she said. It's just not working. I sighed. I'll come check it out. Mom was showing signs of dementia. We'll just push through it, I told myself. After my dad died, my mother had moved 7 doors down from me, and I looked in on her every day. I'm going to stop by with your dinner early today, too. I used my spare key to let myself into her house through the laundry room through the garage. Mom, look, I called. I'm putting navy beans, I never heard of those, navy beans and cornbread in your refrigerator. I'll be back to warm up everything later. Then we can eat together. Sounds good, she said. Let me check out your phone. I used my cell to test hers, knowing it would ring. Ah, all fixed, I told her. Good, she said. Thank you. I came back 2 hours later. As soon as I opened the door, I knew her mood had changed. The house was dark. Mom, why are you there and no lights are on? I like the dark, she said from the couch. A familiar chill ran through me. At least we'll have a nice dinner together, I said. I flipped on the lights and opened the refrigerator. Mom, what happened to the beans and cornbread that I brought over? Who knew how long they'd been sitting in there? I tossed them out, Mom said, with a dolphin out. The daughter felt so defeated. I wanted to scream. I wanted to cry. I wanted to be someone else. Scene 5. In the sanctuary of my brother's church, my eyes fixed on my mother's casket. The white roses atop it were beautiful, yet somehow incongruous. I hope she's in a happier place at last, I thought. No more blue days, Mom. And I may not have known how to love each other, but she was an overpowering presence in my life. And we shared things we could never speak about. The last 8 months of her life, she'd fallen into the abyss of Alzheimer's. I'd moved in with her, caring for her full time, while supporting Roger as she underwent cancer treatments. Talk about a lady who had her plate full. I felt like a shadow of myself. It had been 5 years since I'd been inside a church. I'd given up on God. He'd given up on me, I suppose. I didn't blame him. Roger reached for my hand and squeezed it, bringing me back to the words of the eulogy. I only wish she had received help for her mental illness, I heard my brother saying. What? Why was he calling our mother mentally ill? After the service, I asked him, what did you mean mentally ill? Well, she was clinically depressed, my brother said. His voice was calm, non-judgmental. It's a mental illness, you know. She couldn't help what she was going through. She needed therapy, medication. She needed help. She was afraid to ask for it. How appropriate that song was that we did, the worship song. He knows my weakness. He knows my failures. He knows my faults. But we need to ask, and it shall be given. A voice rose up inside me. I tried to stop the words before they came out. Do you think that's what's wrong with me? I blurted. My brother looked at me quizzically. I've done such a good job hiding it, how I really felt, even from the people that were closest to me. Scene 6. I started going to church because Roger seemed to get something out of it. Listening to the preachers go on about God left me despondent. I spent the years since Mom's death grieving the loss of my 21-year-old son. We thought her plate couldn't get any fuller. The loss of her 21-year-old son, to me every day felt just like the day of his freak car accident. I was almost grateful to my mother for teaching me how to conceal my grief. No one knew. No one needed to know. It was my problem. As I entered the sanctuary that morning, an older woman I had never spoken to pressed an envelope into my hand. And she said, "You always look so sad. I feel moved to give you this." Sitting in the pew, I opened the envelope. Inside was a card for a psychologist. "Why would she give me this?" I asked Roger. I was shocked. How did the woman know? No one's supposed to know. God knows. Scene 7. A stranger prying into my life. What was I thinking? I wanted to run and hide, yet as soon as I sat down and a therapist offered me a glass of water, I sensed something in me start to release. "Stay," something whispered to me. "Write down 10 things that make you happy," the therapist said. I wrote my daughter's name, then Roger's. I stopped. Shook my head. I could have cried if I had let myself. "It's okay," the therapist said. "Let's start there." Scene 8. Over time, the memories poured out about everything, especially my mother. They weren't all bad. I remembered when there would be lemon pie waiting when I got home from school. How sometimes she joined us neighborhood kids for a game of four square. But the blue days had ruled her life just as they had ruled mine. "Your mother didn't choose to be depressed," my therapist told me, "and neither did you. Mental illness can run in families. It's no one's fault. Medication and lifestyle changes will help you tremendously. Jeannie, and time as well. You'll see. You don't have to be that little girl in the closet anymore." Scene 9. I was there again, a last memory, alone in the closet of my childhood bedroom, alone in the dark and the silence, hiding, pleading, oh God, take this sadness or take me. But now that memory changed. I saw a light shine down on me and words that had meaning, but no sound. You are loved. Love that had followed me all my life, even as I struggled. Love that opened that closet door. Scene 10. As the organist played the postlude for the Sunday service, I stood and extended a hand to the young woman seated next to me. Peace, I said, and felt her hand tighten around mine. This moment, the passing of the peace held such meaning for me now. Not just a word, but a feeling I had never imagined possible. Certainly not in church. Afterwards, Roger and I walked together through a park teeming with the color of spring flowers. Flowers that my mother might have loved on a good day. Might have yearned to love someone inside her soul. My mother had done the best she could. I could forgive her now, knowing she was as much a child of God as I was. That finally was the love that we could share. So, when I read that, it was just like the Holy Spirit tapped me on the back and said that you need to share that. So I have. And now I want everybody to bow their heads. Nobody's looking around. I have my eyes closed. I believe this is a private matter. And I believe if this message somehow was for somebody that's here today, would you just extend your hand to heaven and just acknowledge it and put it back down? Nobody's looking. This is between you and God. We take just a moment more. Did this message speak to you? Do you have times of depression in your life? Just simply acknowledge it. Let the Lord know that this is your way of asking. Ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. Slip your hand up and put it right back down. Just one more moment. I'm not looking, it's not my business, it's only the Lord's business. Now I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, I really do sense that you wanted me to share this today. I don't know who they are that experiences these times of depression, but I know it must be difficult, and it's a struggle. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help them get the help that they need. Maybe just simply acknowledging that you have this situation, and I'm grateful that there's medication available for it, but sometimes we just have to address it, acknowledge it. Like this mother wasn't willing to, she didn't want to acknowledge it. Thankfully, the daughter did. And maybe that's just what you need to do. You just need to acknowledge it. Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one that might be suffering this time of their life. Help them make the decisions they need to make. And I pray, Lord, that you'll put them with the people that will help them with it. Medications we're grateful for as well. Can help you win a, live a good, fruitful, and healthful life. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. But I have the worship team come. We're going to sing.